So a fuel cell is an electrochemical device. It's a technology which takes the chemical energy in fuels and it turns it directly into electrical energy using electrochemical reactions. So it's a one-step transformation process to get electricity from chemical fuels.
And you can use them in rockets, you can use them on Apollo, you can use them in motor cars, etc.
Yes, that's right. So hydrogen fuel cells are probably the most well-known type of fuel cells and the most commercially developed as well. They've been used by NASA, of course, for decades, and they're gaining a lot more popularity in the vehicle industry and as a hydrogen fuel cell and more as the hydrogen economy interest peaks in that area.
And so, Dr. Allen, what are you doing with them here?
So we're doing something a little bit different. Fuel cells are relatively easy to manage from an engineering perspective when you're using a gas as the reactant. But what we're trying to do here with the direct carbon fuel cell is actually use a solid fuel, which is carbon. And this can be any type of carbon material. It can be a coal-based material, or you can also use biomass or other carbonaceous feedstocks.
Bit of carbon around here in Newcastle too, haven't you?
We've definitely got some carbon around.
From the Hunter Valley.
Yes, that's right. If you go into Newcastle Harbour, you'll see it being shipped out almost constantly.
And of course, the interesting thing is the ways in which you are moving from the old smokestack industries to a completely new approach. How's it going so far, looking at this different way?
It's challenging, but it's a really interesting process because it's got so many selling points. So your normal thermal generation processes, you have to burn the fuel to make heat, to make steam and drive a turbine. It has a lot of auxiliary equipment, so it's a big power plant that you need for that thermal generation. With a fuel cell, it's a lot smaller. It's a smaller scale and it doesn't need all of the external equipment. And with the direct carbon fuel cell, because we're not burning the coal or the carbon material in air, we don't have to separate the CO2 afterwards, which can be a big energy penalty. So it's sequestration ready type carbon dioxide that's being generated.
Yeah, but what is the process? How do you get the energy out?
So the chemical reaction, carbon plus oxygen makes CO2. Normally we use the exothermic reaction, so the heat from that reaction. But when you use it in a fuel cell, you separate the two reactions, so carbon oxidation and oxygen reduction, into two steps. And that allows for the flow of electrons in electrochemical reactions. So the actual spontaneous electrochemical reaction that happens, instead of emitting heat, it generates an electron.
And what sort of process are you working on that can be applied on a bigger scale? In other words, something that is as ubiquitous as the fuel cell.
Yeah, so the fuel cell itself, so actually generating electricity, is one type of technology, and that can be used in grids as a stabilizing agent or as a replacement for coal-fired power. But there's also a really interesting aside to this technology, which is doing the absolute reverse, which is taking carbon dioxide and putting electricity into an electrolysis unit to make carbon. So we're going completely the opposite direction now. And if you can use electricity from renewable energy or concentrating solar thermal is the process I'm working on at the moment, this can be a carbon sequestration pathway. And the carbon that you make from this process is actually an advanced material. So it can be used in batteries and supercapacitors for an added value to the carbon capture process.
And the solar thermal is essentially getting heat from the sun and producing the energy in the system that way so that you can drive the machine.
Yes, that's right. So concentrating solar thermal, there's a couple of different outputs you can get from it. So you can get the heat, just the heat itself, and you can use that to keep things molten and to keep things at the reaction temperature that you need. And you can also use that heat to make steam and drive a turbine, the same that you would do in a coal-fired power station, except we're not burning anything, we're using the heat from the sun.
So how do you see this reverse system developing?
Yeah, I'd love to see it rolled out across the world, of course. But in order to stem the tide of emissions, so renewable energy isn't necessarily zero emission. So even if we move to a renewable energy grid, we've still got to have manufacturing and we've got other industries that are emitting CO2. So I'd like to see this technology employed in a case where we have got renewable energy, but in places where perhaps we can't move as quickly away from generating CO2. So we can take that CO2 and actually manufacture something more useful that can then increase the uptake of renewable energy because it can be applied to storage and to increase the capacity of storage technologies like batteries and supercapacitors.
In 10 years' time, for example, in your dreams, how do you see it working?
Well, in 10 years' time, concentrating solar thermal will have come a long way. At the moment, it's a little bit problematic for concentrating solar thermal because the best resource is in the middle of the day, and they're a large power station. And of course, the cost of electricity in the middle of the day with the uptake of photovoltaics is quite low. So they're not going to get a large economic return if they're just making electricity. But if we're going to make an advanced product, then this could help with the uptake of this technology and make it more commercially viable. So I would hope that if we can develop this technology quickly and get it rolled out along with concentrating solar thermal, that it could increase the commercial readiness and the commercialization pathway of both technologies at the same time.
What sort of products? Give me some examples.
So we've done some work on, so my colleagues here at the University of Newcastle, Professor Scott Don in electrochemistry, we've been making basically an activated carbon, and this can be used in a supercapacitor because it has a very high surface area, so it can store charge, a lot of charge, very quickly. So that's what a supercapacitor does, it delivers a big bang all in one go. So, but you need something with a very high surface area to do that. And with the electrolysis unit that we have depositing the carbon, there's so many different variables that we can play with to make the carbon that we can basically tune and grow whatever type of carbon we like. So we've done a lot of work on developing an activated carbon type material replacement, and we've seen that it performs better than commercially derived activated carbon.
Can I see you using a great deal of carbon out of the atmosphere to make a big difference?
I would like to. So the technology could potentially take it out of the atmosphere, but it would be a big energy penalty. I see it working in the future in sort of 10 to 15 years' time with biomass-based energy. So you use trees, the perfect carbon dioxide removal machine, to pull the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. You can then combust that to make the CO2 and pull it back into the carbon that we want.
Makes sense. Trees do it well.
They do. They do a good job of it. No need to reinvent that wheel.
How many people around Australia know you're doing this work?
Hopefully a few more now. I've been peddling it at conferences and I've been talking about it for about a year now, really trying to get more awareness and get some funding to actually start working on it a bit more intensely. We've done a lot of work on the actual carbon material development, but I'd like to see it moving forward more quickly and moving into more engineering and scaling up the technology now is what I'd really like to see.
Dr. Jessica Allen is a senior lecturer in chemical engineering at the University of Newcastle.